Thank you for tuning in to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible on KEQX 89.7. The views, opinions, beliefs, and content expressed on the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible are the sole production of the Harrison Moore Expedition and its agents. The views, opinions, and beliefs expressed may not be the same as those on KEQX or any of its agents. This show is brought to you by the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, and the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs.
Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. I'm David Harris, the gospel preacher at the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas, and I'm here today again with my good friend and preacher from the Rising Star Church of Christ, Terry Jackson. He's going to fill in again today for Tom Moore, who has spent a couple of days in the hospital, and we just got to talk to Tom right before the show started, and Tom is fine, and he's well, and he's back at home now and getting cranky, and Carol's taking good care of him. We want to thank Terry for filling in on short notice, by the way, and it's always a pleasure to have Terry here with us, and we wish Tom the very best and hope he recovers as soon as he can. We're ready to see him again, aren't we, Terry?
You bet we are.
Okay, this is a live call-in talk show, and the number to call is 254-445-2473. Let me give it to you again, 254-445-2473, or you can email us at keqx@rocketmail.com. And by the way, we've got the website going up very well here at the radio station. And if you're out there and can't get real good reception because you may be a little far away, then you can tune in via the internet. And it is keqxpurecountry.com. And there you will get some spectacular reception, and you can listen to us on the web, and we would love to hear you call in and give your opinions, give your discussion on whatever it is that we're talking about here, or ask questions, and we'll give you Bible answers. Our motto has always been, you have heard what men have had to say, now let's hear what the Bible has to say. Last week, Terry, we considered, Terry was here with us last week, and we considered the rich fool. It's the parable of the rich fool, and we looked at Luke chapter 12 and discussed that, and we saw even ourselves in that parable. And these parables that Jesus gives are tremendous illustrations, and we can put ourselves right in the middle of these parables. And this parable that we're going to talk about today, if you have your Bibles, please take them and turn to Matthew chapter 20, and we're going to look at the parable of the laborers in the vineyard. Now, Terry, this is a kingdom parable, and when we have these kingdom parables, we know that he's talking about the church. And when we're looking at the church here, we're looking at what we ought to be as far as the church is concerned, and the way that we ought to be in it, the way that we ought to work in it, the way that we ought to behave in it, and the way that we ought to look at these parables and make these applications to our own lives.
That's right, David. In fact, you know that the word parable has to do with alongside of this. He looks at these physical things that we can all identify with, and he says, okay, this is what the kingdom is like. And in this one, of course, the parable of the vineyard. Well, these workers, I mean, that's something that they could identify with. They'd seen, they maybe had had the opportunity to either be a worker in a vineyard and be hired as these gentlemen had been, or to have hired some workers in the marketplace. So it's something that they could identify with and then translate it over into understanding what the responsibilities were in the church.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Very good. And if you will, Terry, why don't you read for us this parable of the laborers in the vineyard? There are 16 verses that will tell us about the laborers in the vineyard, and there are several lessons to glean from this. I don't know how far we're going to get through this thing today, but we're going to give it a stab, and we're going to try to get through it. I don't know that we can, because we're going to have to back up and give a little preface to this after you read the parable. Would you please read the parable to us? It's Matthew chapter 20, for those of you who are in a position to read with us, beginning in verse 1 and down through verse number 16.
All right. In chapter 20, verse 1 of the book of Matthew, for the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now, when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give you. So they went. Again he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and said to them, why have you been standing here idle all day? They said to him, because no one hired us. He said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right you will receive. So when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first. And when those who came who were hired, about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. But when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more, and they likewise received each a denarius. And when they had received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, these last men have worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us, who have borne the burden and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours, and go your way. I wish to give to this last man the same as you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is your eye evil because I am good? So the last will be first, the first last, for many are called, but few are chosen.
There are so many lessons involved in this. And you know, as you were reading this, talk about a modern day application. You know, these people that are sitting down there in front of Wall Street today?
That's right.
It's kind of hard to tell what they're sitting there for, but the basic premise of what all of their sitting down in front of that Wall Street is all about is I want what you have.
Right.
I want something that is really not pertaining to me. And that's kind of the first thing that kind of jumps out at you here. But when you started reading this parable, it started with the word for. And that's something that I think we need to address here. When we're studying our Bibles and we start reading something, and there is no doubt this is the parable of the laborers in the vineyard. But it is man that has come along here with the chapters and verses, and they're quite good that they're there, because I can say let's turn to the passage that tells us about the laborers in the vineyard, and we go to Matthew chapter 20, beginning in verse 1, and we can pick right up on it. Everybody knows where to go when you say Matthew 20, verse 1. But when this was put together, that break was not there. Man put the break there. That's not given there by the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And he starts there with the word for. Now, that means that it's making reference to what was said right before this. Because this is kind of, how did you call it? It's an add-on here to what we have seen previous to this. So if you'll just back this up just a little bit, what we're going to see here is the parable of the rich young ruler. But this is not a parable. This is an actual scene, an account of the rich young ruler. And if you will, for those of you who are with us here today, would you look, please, at the rich young ruler? And what you're going to have to do is back up to Matthew chapter 19 and look at verse number 16. And this is kind of where it starts. He says, behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he says, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if you will enter into life, keep the commandments. And he said unto him, which? Jesus said, you shall do no murder, you shall commit no adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And the young man said unto him, all these things I have kept from my youth up, what lack I yet? And Jesus said in verse 21, if you will be perfect, go sell that you have, give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that, saying he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Now, Terry, there's a parallel account to this. And the parallel account to it, there's one in Matthew, there's one in Mark, there's one in Luke. And the parallel passage I want us to look at tonight is Mark chapter 10, and there in verse number 21. When he says, when Jesus told him, you know the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor your father and your mother. He said, all these I've kept from my youth. It says in verse 21 of Mark chapter 10, Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said, one thing you lack. Go thy way, sell whatsoever you have, give to the poor, you shall have treasures in heaven, and come take up your cross and follow me. I want us to focus in there for just a moment. When Jesus said, he beheld him and he loved him. He looked on him and he loved him, but the point was, you shall not commit adultery anyway. Jesus looked on the man and he loved the man, but you shall not kill anyone. Jesus beheld the man and he loved the man, but you shall not steal anything. Now, Terry, the big problem in the world today is Jesus, to a lot of people, is nothing but love. Absolutely nothing but love. But here Jesus is telling him, I love you, but you still can't do wrong. Just because Jesus loves us does not give us a license to go and do anything and everything that we want to do.
We have a total misconception of what the love of God or the love of Christ is really all about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how many times, David, have we watched a football game or a baseball game and someone up in the stands, and I'm sure this is a well-meaning, honest person, about like this young man here, holds up a sign that says John 3:16. They don't have a clue what John 3:16 really is telling them and what's involved in John 3:16. Yet, you know, they tie into the love of God, that this is the love of God, that he sent his son to this earth to die for us, that whosoever believes on him should not perish but have everlasting life. What we forget a lot of times, or what too many people forget, is with the love of God, there is also a just nature. God is a just God. And it's proved in this very passage. He loved this young man, but yet he expected this young man to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And when this young man didn't do it, he understood. He went away sorrowful. Jesus didn't say, well, come back here. It's okay. You don't. He didn't say that, because this man, at this point in time, even though he was a good fellow, a fellow that we would love to emulate, we'd love to have our children to emulate the character of this man. He mm-hmm. was rich. He was a ruler. He's well known. He also had the wealth with the convictions and keeping the commandments. And yet still, there's something he lacked. He knew it, and Jesus revealed it to him, and he wasn't willing to do what Jesus told him to do.
He had an obstacle in his way.
That's right.
And this kind of illustrates what a lot of people do with religion today. You ask somebody, do you believe in Jesus? Oh, yeah, I believe in Jesus. I'll beat on my chest and point up into the air. I believe in Jesus. Well, are you doing what Jesus said? Well, no, but I believe in him. Well, you can't have it both ways.
Right.
This young man came with an honest, sincere question. What must I do? He thought that he had done everything that he needed to do. He was a very astute young man. He had read the scriptures. He knew what the commandments were. He kept the commandments, and yet he was still going to be kept out of heaven because he could not do what Jesus wanted him to do. There was one thing that was keeping him out of heaven. It was his riches. And what he was trying to tell him is, you get rid of your riches, you get rid of your obstacle, come and follow me, I'll give you treasures in heaven, and take up that cross and be a Christian. But this guy, no, not, well, I'm not going to do that. He went away sorrowful. And you know, he did not give up one thin dime. It didn't cost him one thin dime. And he still went away sorrowful. So he went away sorrowful, not because he lost his money, because he didn't give up a dime of it.
That's right.
So he understood that because of his unwillingness and his attitude toward his riches, that he couldn't go to heaven, and that's what made him sorrowful.
Well, and that's what Jesus said. If you would be complete, if you'd mm-hmm. be perfect, if you want to finish out what's lacking in your life, this is one thing that's lacking. You're not there yet. You've got to sell your goods and give to the poor, and then you'll be complete. Then you will have finished what is lacking in your life. He wasn't willing to do it.
Well, now, when in the preface to this parable of the laborers in the vineyard now.
That's right.
As Jesus is teaching this lesson, he looks at his disciples there in verse number 23 of chapter 19. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. It's hard for a rich man to do it because he's going to have to make a choice. You know, later, or earlier in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, he says, you cannot serve God and mammon.
That's right.
You cannot serve God in materialism. You cannot serve God in your money. For you will either hate the one and love the other, or you will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And right here shows you, you're going to pledge allegiance to one, and you're going to hate the other.
That's right.
You can't have it both ways here. And so he says, how hard should it be for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God? And again, I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Now, that's pretty hard. That's pretty hard. I can't imagine a camel going through the eye of a needle. But the key to this statement that he makes is right down there in verse number 26,
exactly.
When he says, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. With God, that camel can change and get through that eye of a needle. With God, that man can change and he can get to heaven, but no other way.
And I like that, David, because that puts, you know, we do have to change. I mean, we have to repent. We have to do what Jesus tells us to do, which this young man wasn't willing to do. But if we are willing by faith to do those things, then the end result is we can actually, God will save us. God will take care of us.
Right. The board man is distracting me over here just a minute. I'm with you. I am with you. And he continues in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 27. I don't know what that sound is that's coming over this. I don't know what it is, but okay, let's stay hooked here. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 27. We have a response to what Jesus has said. With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed you. What shall we have therefore? Now, that's a good question. When a person gives up everything that he has and follows Jesus, what is it that he's supposed to have? What is it that he's supposed to have? One of the things that he's going to have is all the great and precious promises that God has promised us. And he promised this man treasures in heaven. There's absolutely no doubt about that. But he continues here in the very next verse, and Jesus answered this, Verily I say unto you that you which have followed me in the regeneration of the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory. You also shall sit upon the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel, and everyone that has forsaken houses, or brethren, or sister, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit eternal life. And so he is explaining there, in a nutshell, that things are always not as what they seem by human eyes. And on the other hand, those who place their wants and their comfort and themselves last, they may be the first with the Lord and be greatly blessed. Now, I understand we have a caller on the phone. Caller, would you give her your name and your comment or your question, please?
Yeah, this is the cantankerous Tom Moore calling in, and want to check on things.
All right, Tom, good to hear from you.
A question about this scenario. You know, you talked the disciples said something about that they had forsaken all to follow them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think a lot of times we really deceive ourselves in that area, don't we? You know, we claim to put the Lord first. We know we're supposed to seek Him first, but it's this materialism that we're endeavoring to make a part of our lives. I don't think we really think hard enough about how hard it is for us to really put the Lord first. You know, we have so many riches in this life. You know, big screen TVs, big ranches, fine pickups, just everything in the world that takes on our time, and we don't really have enough time for the Lord sometimes. And I think we deceive ourselves into thinking, well, maybe we are doing it, or maybe we're not. But I just wanted y'all to maybe mention that a little bit about people deceiving themselves with regard to whether or not they're materialistic or not. And I'll just hang up and listen to you guys.
Okay. Well,
good talking to you, Tom.
Yeah, good call. Thank you. I'd like for us to look for just a moment and go right back to the Sermon on the Mount. And what you'll find what you'll find is after Jesus preached that Sermon on the Mount, everything else that you find in the New Testament will kind of point you right back to what he preached about.
Yeah.
In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, he said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you." And the things that he's talking about, he talks about all the way from verse number 25 all the way to verse number 33. It's what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear, where you're going to put your shelter on. All of these things that we need and that we fret over so much, and like Tom was saying there just a moment ago, sometimes we think that we have given up a lot, and maybe we haven't given up anything and put God in our lives first. And so when he talks about, "I will supply you all of these things that you need if you will seek first the kingdom of God," what he's trying